It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Great.
It's not Yeah, great. He's already starting with voices. Not awesome.
And not his own.
What? Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
No. Go back and do it in the voice.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano.
I mean, if I get to enjoy it, everybody else should.
Listen, you know what? You never know what you're going to get on this show. Just shake it up. We're going to figure it out from here. We'll figure out the rest. Anyway, listen, happy Sunday morning, everybody. I wanted to, you asked me if I was aware of, you know, in the Geneva Lakes area, whether or not we had Oktoberfest is coming up, right?
No, it's today, yesterday and today.
Oh my God, is that right? So I've already missed it.
Well, not today.
Oh, okay, not today.
Right after the show, after my show, I take off and I go race dogs.
I mean, it wasn't quite cold enough for me to
in
make
the good way.
It wasn't quite cold enough for me to make the full transition to pumpkin spice latte, so
yeah.
I did pumpkin cold brew.
Oh, okay.
You know,
a little cross, but cross.
Yeah, and you know,
what do you call that season between summer and fall when it's not exactly summer and it's not fall yet?
Confusion,
right? Pumpkin spice.
Yeah.
Ice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brew.
I know. Well, listen, we're coming off a big week. We were at Design Chicago this week.
Really?
Yeah. Design Chicago is the sort of annual conference where, you know, design professionals, you know, sort of come and gather along with vendors and suppliers and media all come together for the 2-day event to sort of celebrate design in the Midwest and in Chicago, and then also network and also launch new product. And for us, it was really great. I got the chance to speak at a panel for Beacle Stone, which was fantastic, and made some new friends there, which is great. They're actually a Wisconsin-based company out of Chilton.
When you're on a panel like that, what kind of questions do people ask you?
Well, typically, this particular panel was sponsored by Aspire Home. Mm-hmm. Aspire Home is a they do a lot of publications, design publications, both digital and print. And Paul, the moderator, who I absolutely love, it's my second year in a row working with him. He's the kind of guy that if you walk into a room, he just hypes you up. Like in the introduction, so amazingly that you're like, can you just join me on a daily basis?
Can you just walk into the room in front of me
almost
every time?
Like, and now comes the queen! Like, it's like, it's that level of like, you know, really great introduction.
Does he play the trumpet thing? What is that thing that
they
play?
You know what? Maybe I can get him to do that next year, Lauren. What do you think? Possibly. I don't know. Maybe that might work. But he's so great. So we partnered with him at this event, and they were talking just about, you know, how to use stone. And I was on a panel with, a really well-known sales rep there, and then also John Melby from Melby Design, who's an architect, again, out of the Madison area. So a lot of Midwestern, a lot of Wisconsin ties, yeah. And Beacle Stone is a generational family-owned stone company that quarries a lot of their stuff, you know, in the Midwest and or throughout the United States here in the USA. And it was great. We got to talk all things foundation, stone, and that was great.
Cool.
Every showroom that we visited, I mean, you literally could snack your way through the merchandise market that entire week and gain. I mean, Lauren, it was really bad. There were sweets and treats out in almost every showroom. So you sort of nibbled your way through, you know, some sort of like pre-diabetic exercise.
That's my kind of meeting.
I know, but like after 4 days of doing it, you're like, I can't have another like, you know, cookie. Like,
right.
Like put the cookie down,
no.
You know, put the wrapped candy down.
I have to say, I've never said that to myself.
Put
the cookie down.
But it was nice. The showrooms are all sort of, you know, open for you to sort of view new products. So it was a little bit of work and a little bit of networking. Which was actually fun. And, you know, we got to meet with our partners from Lux Magazine, which was great. So again, lots of great, you know, just discussions about sort of the future of design, the future of the merchandise mart, you know, what maybe we could be doing a little bit different, maybe what we could be doing a little bit better, all with an educational slant.
Goodness, aren't you already doing things different and better?
Well, yeah, what we're hoping to do is do that with greater volume now.
Oh, okay.
And going to places like Design Chicago to share our unique perspective on the way that we view design and the way that we believe it's a journey, both educationally and creatively, was really the focus. I mean, it was really great to also then bring our marketing press kit with all of the anatomy of an interiors, mm-hmm. with our service model, and to be able to do that in an atmosphere where it was just so well-received. Our friends at Divine Flooring, who were awesome to us. Like, we do something a little different with these anatomies of an interior. And if you go on our website, you can see them. And as we load more, what we're doing is we're not gatekeeping the resources from you. We're showing you the resources we're using to put these amazing spaces together. And we're encouraging you to reach out to those websites to go learn about what really high quality vendors look like outside of your digital and retail sphere.
Right.
You know, what and so really helping connect people with the ability to onboard to quality and luxury, which is a huge focus for us, as you know, and anybody who listens to that show. That's a huge focus for us. Design Chicago is absolutely a platform this week for us to begin to kind of ratchet up the volume. And we also did a little bit of a guerrilla marketing tactic for the radio show.
Oh, yeah.
We dropped off these little cards that just said missing.
Oh.
And they said missing, and then they had a QR code. And then on the back was just a microphone icon. And we basically took those all over the mart, and we just sort of peppered them throughout. And we had the team come out and do that when they did their developmental day on Wednesday.
Oh, so, that's cool.
Yeah, just to drive more traffic to WLKG and Spotify
where you
can hear our show. So listen, the topic for today's show, you can tell I'm very cozy today. I'm like kind of digging it.
Man, me too.
Yeah, I know. It's about time, right?
Yeah.
Again, loving this time of year. But I want to talk about something that piggybacks on what we talked about on last week's show, which was, you know, we talked about this concept of if you want to be a better builder and what great build partners look like and the things that they do well and the things that they do not do well and where they go terribly wrong in the collaborative relationship. At one point, I will do a show on, and Lauren, please make a note of this, I will do a show on where designers do it go wrong. I will do that as an educational, you know, sort of balance point there. But the reason that I wanted to sort of highlight that show, especially as it relates to today's show, is that I want to approach it as sort of an extension of that conversation, but in a little bit of a different way. Because I believe you said something to me last week when we were on the show, Nancy, that really resonated with me, which is a lot of what we talk about on the radio has an application to almost any industry,
right?
Any business, you know, almost any dynamic and just a lot to life in general. And yep. That's what we've always wanted for this show.
For sure.
What we wanted was for you to not only design great interiors and a great home, but we want you to design an amazingly creative and beautiful life. And how do we help you get there, right? And whether that's through inspiration or whether that's through education or whether that's through creativity, it doesn't really matter. You know, pick from the plate of the design coach, okay, as you will, to be able to, you know, glean what you need, which is the whole reason we do this program.
Well, okay? I think you have a much, much wider audience on this show than just people mm-hmm. who are wanting to design a new home, remodel,
yeah,
or whatever.
But
and honestly, as a business owner, as a business manager, I too have taken a lot of what you've said and thought,
that's nice.
How can I plug? It's just the difference in what you're producing or servicing.
Yeah. I think
you just plug it in.
The today's show is, this is going to be called the All-In Show, and I'm going to describe that for you. And I'm going to speak, we're going to be a little bit, we're not going to be all over the map because I have four specific segments of what I want to cover, but there's a lot to this topic to unpack. And again, I don't know that we'll get to it all on today's show, but I'm going to certainly try, and I'm going to try to share some really important, I think, notes for people to, I don't know, ponder, to think about, and maybe even, you know, if you feel like they're relevant to you, to take them and you know, absolutely practice them. But I want to talk about this concept of, and you've heard me say this before, I would rather have somebody in my camp or out of my camp than in the doorway. In other words, you are either in the room, you are either out of the room, but you cannot straddle and be in the doorway.
You're in the doorway and you block the flow.
Well, you also prevent someone who wants to be in the room from getting in.
Right. You block the flow
and
in and out.
Nancy,
absolutely.
And sometimes, Nancy, that's someone's intent.
Of course.
There are people who are like, you know what? I'm not going to go all in, but I also don't want to be out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to straddle
stand in the doorway and
stand in someone's way. The obstructionist approach. And sometimes I don't even mean that it's overt. I don't mean that it's often sometimes not even obvious. Sometimes in this day and age, it's passive aggressive in its approach to being in your way. And I believe that as it relates to sort of the topic of doing big things and actually trying to live the life you want to live, I think that having this radar, if you will, or being able to do the analysis of whether or not people are actually all in or whether or not they maybe should be out, and identifying if they're just in the convenient and comfortable place of being in the doorway. I had this topic, and it's like, listen, I want all in or I don't want you in at all.
Well,
and I'm at a point in my life where I really believe it's like either, and being all in doesn't mean that you're agreeing with me all the time. It just means that I know that you're trying to make an effort to understand exactly what we're trying to achieve, and that you're also sharing your gift. You're letting me share mine, and we're trying to find a way to meld them. And that's what I believe we're not doing enough of. I mean, it was interesting to hear the conversations at Design Chicago about how we really need to be sharing the gifts of business and creativity and sales to the next generation of designers. You know, we are trying to teach them tips on, you know, design build, or we're trying to teach them tips to put color schemes together, but we're actually not coaching down the psychological and the business dynamic of sales. And that's absolutely something that they are not learning in school. I will tell you that right now.
They are
learning something different. And I know that because of the students that come to me from some pretty high profile schools that have a deficit in that area. And I reminded so many people when I was having conversations in Design Chicago that I'm not actually in interior design. Design is one of the things that we sell.
Right.
And I do practice interior design, but I also practice a lot of other things, but I'm actually in creative sales. And so if we can take this approach to say, okay, you know, how do we find a way to identify the people, the circumstances, the groups of people, and partners that we think we want to partner with, whether or not we believe they're going to be an all-in or they're going to be a doorway player, or sometimes when an all-in becomes a doorway player where they're just sort of straddling and they're in the way because they won't fully commit— it's my belief that I believe that your project, your life, your whatever it is that you're trying to build or chase or improve or enhance, which is I hope everyone's goal is to build and not destroy. My hope is that you find people who are all in it with you. Because let's be honest, a vision hits differently when you're surrounded by a team that doesn't blink. And the ones that don't blink are the ones that are all in. So listen, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about vision and leadership and choosing the right partner and so much more as it relates to the conversation of are you and are the people around you all in? Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I love it's fall, Nancy.
Me too.
It's finally fall.
I know.
Like really falling. Mm-hmm. Right. Anyway, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sasano, and we're talking about all in. What does that look like? What does it mean? What does it mean to be all in? What does it mean to have people around you that are all in? And as I mentioned just before the break, you know, a vision hits differently when you're surrounded by a team that doesn't blink. And I think that's what big projects deserve. I believe it's what big endeavors deserve. And it's actually if you really look at a best practice in that regard, that's what it takes, Nancy. You can't have people who are full of half measures in your life driving on big things in your life.
Right.
You don't want that out of a spouse. You don't want that out of a partner. You don't want that out of a friend. You don't want that out of a family member. You don't want that. You don't want
a child.
That.
Right.
But we so often just accept it, you know, and we don't, and even now, like we stated, we're not even having the conversations to talk about what all in looks like and then have the conversation about how it's okay to be different. Like, in other words, my all in might look different than someone else's all in. But let's find the commonalities where both of our all in connection
right.
points can serve to drive something forward.
And I feel like it's only going to get worse.
I don't know. I mean, right now, I think the only thing that I do know is that it starts with vision and leadership. And
right.
I want to talk first about the vision and leadership part, because I don't think we're having a conversation often enough about articulating your vision for your family, for your life, for your career, right? For your volunteer effort, like for your philanthropic posture. Hopefully you have one, right? You know, we're so busy in the details and in the weeds that we oftentimes forget to articulate the vision, which actually allows people to wrap their brain around whether or not they can make an evaluation in the beginning of whether or not they even want to be all in. We do some, we make some really rough assumptions, Nancy. We just assume that because you're excited about something that they should be excited about something, or because something is relevant to you that it's relevant to all. And we do that because I think in our minds, we really want to believe everyone's on our side. And the reality is maybe that they are, but everybody's on your side to a percentage as it relates to their own self-interests.
Right. Exactly.
It's only the inner circle, like the real inner circle, right?
Right.
The people who will not just say yes to things. The people who just aren't in it, right, to sort of feed off of it.
But that's where your sales expertise comes in.
Right. Yes, but it's interesting when you talk about how often you're sitting down and you're saying in the beginning of an endeavor, a relationship, a project, this is the vision. When you don't do that, you keep people guessing and you also deny them the opportunity of choice. The first thing that I want to say is that I think if you're really looking to see whether or not partners are all in, have you really tried to articulate what that looks like to you and what is required? I mean, just boil it down to like a spouse, right? You want loyalty, right? You want love.
Right.
You want understanding. You want honesty. You want all of these, you know, really important components to a healthy relationship. So you can't pick and choose. Right?
Right.
What all in looks like. Sometimes all in looks like really negative feedback of how you're not doing it the right way and how you might not be all in. That's the other thing we're not open to, is really having the conversation about allowing someone else to describe their all in as you're describing your vision. I think, interestingly enough, when we talk about starting big projects that are both financially, you know, really, I don't know, these are really complex projects, Nancy, that have a lot of moving parts and big financial responsibilities. There's also very, very heavy creative responsibilities. And so you're managing heart and head on all of those things. So if you haven't really taken the time to articulate the vision, you can't lead it and you can't ask people to participate in it if you haven't outlined it.
Right.
It's the same thing that you want in a political leader. If you're going to vote for somebody, you want to be like, what's their vision? Like, what is if they were to get everything that they wanted out of governance, what would it look like?
Right.
And that's where a lot of politicians go wrong. You can't just complain about the other side and have that be a platform. That's where we find ourselves in a lot of our political dynamic right now, is we'd just rather complain about the other side instead of saying, here's my vision. And by the way, these are the steps I think it takes to get there. And then you give the voter a choice to say yes or no. We have to lead more as a society with vision. We have to articulate it. We have to develop it. And we have to be okay shaping it a little bit. The vision has to be somewhat flexible to be able to really figure out a way to pull it off. Because in a vision, you're going to have to compromise at some point.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And as the air gets thinner and as the vision gets more complicated to complete, the stress either invigorates people, but most of the time it causes them, it feels like a weight. That's why the doorway doesn't work. You'd rather have people, if you're in the doorway, because you're kind of not sure if you want to be a part of it, then the one thing that you have to look for is you have to look for the people that are willing to take action over words to show you they're all in. This is not magic. What all in looks like from my perspective, especially in the beginning of a project on the part of the client and any partner that I'm starting this journey with, is communication. Communication, and the second is curiosity. If they're not asking questions, they're not that into you.
True.
I mean, have you ever dated, back in when you can remember dating, right? For me, it was a really long time ago.
Yeah.
But like, can you imagine when you were just sitting at the table and you're out and it's like the person didn't ask you one question about you and all they did was sort of talk about themselves? Like, right.
You tune out.
Right. Well, all of a sudden you're like,
I don't know about you, but I tune out.
I mean, it's amazing how often I will go to some of these events and I won't get asked one question about my team, our model, what projects we're currently excited about. So we've sort of, we've been working with our team to say, hey, listen, we want you to be the curious ones in the group, in the dynamic.
Right.
Ask the questions. Because what happens is the other people who appreciate that will also then ask curious questions in return to get to know you. That is a sign of an amazing partner, is the curiosity as it relates to the communication. And that communication isn't the words, it's the active questioning to try to gain understanding. Right? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying in the communication process for just talking. Right? Because at some point there has to be action. And what I deem really necessary in the early evaluation of all in is the question, even if it's not framed to me in the way that I like. I'm getting it. Why do you want that? Please explain that to me. Or I'm still not getting it. Please help me understand. And what that does is that forces me to be a better communicator. And it also sharpens my understanding of the articulation of how to really put the vision in context for people. We're not doing that. Are you sitting down with your kids early in their young, I would say, this is the family expectation. This is our family brand. This is my personal brand as a professional. You know, we're very worried about how we look. And I will tell you that we're surrounded by people who are probably spend more time picking out their outfit than think about their professional brand.
Yeah.
And you should be spending way more time thinking about
right.
about how you're going to impact people in the marketplace than you should think about how you look. And we're obsessed with optics instead of action. We're obsessed with optics instead of action. And so one of the things that I want people to understand in this vision and leadership sort of segment of the show, where we're really talking about how do you begin to identify and how do you begin to set the tone to find out whether or not people are all in, it has to do with curiosity. That's been a huge marker for me. Are they asking enough questions or are they just nodding? Are they actually adding to the conversation of trying to maybe sharpen your idea? I mean, if you think about this, like every really great idea started as a really bad one. Somebody pitches it and they're like, okay, I don't know that that's really going to work. Or if not a bad one, at least a not fully formed idea. And then what you do is you take all of these collaborators and they start to take their knowledge and their experience, or what I call their gift, and they start to actively look to find a fit. If people in your life, in business or personally, are not actively trying to find a fit with proactive, non-prompted outreach, they're in the doorway, guys. They're in the doorway. See, remember to look at the negative space. It's always the pauses right. that tell you more sometimes than the words, because sometimes they just want to fill the air to make them feel confident that they want you to believe they're all in when they're actually really not. And if we don't start to really have the really honest conversations about that, what ends up happening is it's okay if my all in isn't something that you can buy into. But at the same time, then I get to make a choice as to whether or not I want to find someone who's all in. Don't we deserve that, Nancy? Like, don't we deserve that in every facet of our lives?
Well, I think that people are afraid to have expectations and enforce their boundaries these days as
yeah,
well.
I guess.
They settle, and you don't have to do that. And when you do that, what you find is that you don't have the best people surrounding you because you've settled and thought, okay, well, they took one step in the door. I mean, like, I really like what you said about if they're in the doorway, but if they're only a little bit in the door with you, that's still not good enough.
But I also think it's a fair question that if you're noticing that someone is hesitating for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
I think it's an absolutely fair question to be like, you got to tell me what's holding you back.
Right.
You 100% have to be 100% honest with me about what is holding you back.
100%.
And if even if you're afraid to tell me, I'm going to find out eventually anyway. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to surround myself with more people who are all in, and then you're not all in is going to be exposed by comparison. Unless all of your people are sort of in but not really, and then you're really in trouble.
Right.
Because then you don't really have people who are really all in on you, your vision, and whether that's for your family, for your relationship, for your life. And I'm not, listen, I'm not posing this as any sort of like that your vision is some sort of rigid construct. But if you articulate, I want a family. This is where I would like to be when I'm, you know, when I'm this sort of age, you know, like this is really where I'd like to live. This is sort of the lifestyle that really makes me tick. And because we haven't really exposed our kids, I believe, especially now, to enough critical thinking of it's okay to say that that's not for me, but then articulate on the other side what is. It's the indifference that is the real cancer in communication. And indifference means you're in the doorway. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about choosing the right partner. We're going to talk about alignment. We're going to talk about values and the fit. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Oh my gosh. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're talking about what does all in look like? In partners that you choose in life, and partners that you choose in business, and even sometimes the people who are closest to you. I think that this is a really important conversation because right now we're so used to playing both sides of the fence that, you know, you guys are both giggling over there because you know that I'm right. Yeah. Right? And it's so funny. It's so funny because we're talking at the break about, you know, when you're actually speaking with someone, the way that they communicate is a huge tell. I've seen this in a lot of, I would say, mostly younger professionals who are, you know, sort of coming out of situations where maybe they were, you know, I don't know, like, I'll give you this. You're trying to speak about a vision. You're trying to put it together. And there's a lot of, okay, okay, okay. In other words, they're constantly repeating okay, which is in one way, an infuriating validation that I'm speaking. I already know that I'm speaking. So it's an infuriating validation of that. But it's also, it doesn't tell me whether or not you understand. The way I know you understand is that you do the technique where it's like, okay, so let me pause you. Let me repeat it to you and say, this is my understanding of what you're saying. And they can summarize it for you. Instead of just this blanket agreement and the statement, okay, like I'm not your mother or your father where I'm coming down on you because you didn't do your chores and you just want the conversation to end as fast as it can. So you're just agreeing what they're saying.
Okay.
And then at the end they go, did you hear me? And they're like, yes. And all they did was say okay to you 8 times.
Or.
No, you know what, guys? Communication is feedback. And I'm telling you in this conversation today about how to find these all-in partners care enough to give you good feedback.
But the okay, okay, okay thing is also many, many times a sign that they are not actually comprehending what you're saying.
Agree.
They're listening.
Agree.
But they're already formulating their argument, their response,
or when
their
is it
answer,
or when is it going to be over?
Or they're out of they've checked out of the conversation. And so, you know, again, none of that means that they're on board. None of that means that they're going in the same direction as you.
I know, but
it's very obvious if you're watching for
but
it.
I'm going to repeat this, and this is very important. Visions, personally, professionally, endeavors, personally or professionally, hit different and succeed or fail. And most of the time succeed if you have a team that doesn't blink, that isn't afraid to give feedback, that isn't afraid to not only give feedback, but receive feedback. Because here's the transaction. Ready for the transaction? I want willing warriors by my side in life and in business. I believe that my clients, our projects, I believe that myself personally deserve willing warriors.
Sure.
And then the contract is that I'm one for you. That when the time comes, I'm there for you. It's that simple. And being a willing warrior doesn't mean like that meme that goes around where it's like, I don't want to be bossed around. I want to be led when I'm in the mood to be led, right? Like there's no mood in being a warrior. You are a warrior in life when there's a battle that needs to be fought.
Or
when there's
not.
Something that needs to be done.
Right.
Or something that needs to be accomplished. You don't always get to choose those things because life is too random and newsflash. It's always messy and never easy, but it is simple. I'm going to repeat that. It's not easy, but it is simple. We just refuse to do the simple because it's hard.
Okay, now you got to explain that.
Well, I will. Because it's really difficult to have a conversation when you're looking at someone and saying, hey, I just want to talk to you about this. Like, I'm getting some feedback or some inaction from you that signals to me something's holding you back from supporting me. I need to talk about it with you. Can we schedule time? The one thing that people do wrong is they put people on the spot. They want to have the conversation when they want to have the conversation. That's petulant. Okay? Not everybody's going to rework their schedule to have the conversation around when you want to talk about something. Get over yourself. Okay? And if you don't know about that, go to four shows back and you'll find it there too. So if you need a refresher, go there.
Get over yourself.
Because it's not on your timeline. What ends up happening is it really does help. And my team has actually explained this to me. When you're going to have a conversation about performance or a dynamic that you want to talk to me about, can you give me some context prior? To give me some time to sort of just absorb it. I do believe that the really good warriors in your life will actually stop what they're doing and make time or say this to you. This sounds really important. I want to recognize that you've brought this to my attention and I want to make time for this, but I can do it this afternoon or I'm available tomorrow or they will go out of their way. Oftentimes what we hear in people that we believe are our warriors is, I don't want to talk about it. Or you wouldn't understand. Well, that's when you know that person is pretty much at that juncture. They're not in the door. They're actually outside the room.
Right. Checked out.
And if you don't recognize how profound that is for you, that's what I mean by maybe it's time to move on from that person, or maybe it's time to do the really hard work to get that person back in the room. So the answer is, I need to get him back in the room. So the answer is simple. Get him back in the room. The process is hard, but the answer is simple. Make people belong. Make people feel valued. Make people be seen. Allow them to be heard. Even if what they're sharing with you is hurtful or maybe diametrically opposed to maybe what you believe, find a way to say, okay, can I just understand why you think that way? And then are you open? Are you open to then my sort of response to that? And then you allow the understanding collectively to be shaped. I want partners who are all in to shape me for the better and allow me to shape them to make them better. That's what great teams do. Great teams have standards, accountability, honesty, and openness, and passion for it. And they don't shy away from the simple answers that are hard. They don't look for easy. And all we've been trained to do is look for easy. Easy, fast, cheap, now. Mm. Now.
Right.
I want it now.
Right.
Okay, do me a favor. Here's your sippy cup. Here's what I need you to do. What I need you to do is I just need you to take your juice for just a sec, okay? And let's have an adult conversation about how to use your big words to actually come to the table like an adult and actually use your critical thinking skills, okay? Even though I know they might not have been fired up in a few years, but actually have the conversation about how we can approach these things in a rational, kind, thoughtful, strategic, with an outcome. Because you have to come out of these conversations with these partners with an agreement.
Right.
So this segment that I'm talking about, we're choosing the right partner, it's not just about the alignment. The alignment is in that conversation that I outlined in the first segment. That's huge. You know, that communication, that molding, that shaping is really, really big. And as long as you can come away with a shared set of values in the outcome, that's key. I mean, it's never going to work if your outcome is to build and one side's outcome is to destroy. That's never going to work. Like, there's no middle ground there. Right. There isn't. What there is, okay, can we build it better, different together, right, for a greater good? And that's where I feel governance these days has really fallen short. And it's on both sides of the aisle, right? There are just segments of voting populations that get ignored by both sides and have historically for decades. And then that's what pisses people off, Nancy. What pisses people off is not being seen or heard.
Right.
And then they go to the people who they think see or hear them. And then even worse, those people exploit them and take advantage of them. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
My conversation today is all in looks like a common ground understanding conversation where we find the things that we both value even though we come at them from different perspectives, and we find a way to fit. This segment is all about alignment and identifying what we think the simple solution is, even though the choice might be hard to embark on it. Find the values within the conversation that we can agree upon, right? To be able to say, this is the outcome that I want personally or professionally or whatever we're doing. Knowing that that leads to the inevitable fit. Or, Nancy, you know what else it leads to? The non-fit. That's okay, too.
Right.
That is the definition of, I've worked on alignment, I've worked on the values, I hear you, I see you, I'm willing to have the conversation, and I still cannot come to an agreement. I'm sorry, you fall in my vision, my life, you fall here. And you have to be okay with that consequence, and so do they.
You know, what you will find as a business manager or a business owner, again, across the board, that you never get rid of a person too soon. It's always too late. Because the other thing you have to consider
100%. That 100%.
Is the collateral damage that that person has caused within the team that you know is all in. And so you always have to nip that in the bud, because then you have to go back and pick up the pieces and clean up the mess. Again, the collateral damage from the toxicity, because that's what ends up happening.
Yeah, but
they
get
toxic.
But you know what happens with a lot of managers? I'm going to put it back on leaders. And I have had to learn this as my team has grown. I can no longer speak to everyone in generalities.
Oh, gosh, no.
In fact, it's much better to have very, very specific instances.
Right.
To increase the level of self-awareness. And most people like to nibble around the edges of a topic because they don't want to be offensive. They don't want to hurt someone's feelings.
They don't want to put somebody on the spot.
Honest feedback about how I did something wrong has been the best thing that I have ever done. And listen, we've talked about this artistically in the critique setting of artists going into a setting with other artists, and you put your heart and soul up on the wall, and you have other artists sort of pick apart the intent, the composition, the technique, and you learn how to do that in a constructive manner. You learn how to do that in a constructive manner, or at least I did. I'm trying to bring that same studio experience to my entire life, which is to look at people and say, okay, this was the action. This is how, in some regards, it was completely and totally helpful. And here's how it was a detriment to the vision or the collaboration or the project or the outcome. And we're having those honestly. But if you don't give people specifics, which most people kind of, again, nibble around the edges on, you are not helping the conversation at all. And you're actually, that honesty shows kindness. That's been a huge thing, I think, has been a transformation in myself the past 10 years, is that the honesty and the directness, if you're surrounded by all-in people, they actually welcome it.
Of course.
And the people who should be out get wildly defensive. You want a sign of misalignment? It's the defensiveness. So then you have two choices.
Very easy to spot.
Yeah, but you have two choices. How much does this person mean to me to sort of alleviate the defensiveness? Get behind that. Peel that next layer away, right? So before we can even agree to move forward, let's talk about where the defensiveness is coming. And sometimes that defensiveness, especially professionally, has nothing to do with the profession. Sometimes they're going through something personally where it's just all you did with your comment was layer more weight.
Right.
That's why this combination of sort of church and state as it relates to, like, you know, professional life, personal life, people work together. We design for people, not projects. You work with people, and that's why this corporate mindset is so damaging to the human characteristics of doing big things. We got to get back to that. When we come back from the break, we're going to dig in more about all in or out, all in or out, but not in the doorway. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1.
If you've missed all or part of the show, you can always check it out at lake961.com and Spotify.
It's so funny when I walk in with show prep, because I literally, just so everyone knows, I handed them like this four-page.
Technically, it's only three-page. The only three-page. The only thing that was on the fourth page was your signature.
I know.
So that's okay. It's really only 3 pages.
Well, I am on to segment number 4, sadly.
And you're halfway through page 1.
No, not really. I think I'm on track. No, I think I'm doing okay.
You are doing better.
I'm going to wrap this up in segment four very nicely for everybody. I got a couple things that I want to mention, but the first thing I want to mention is you're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. You can also find us on Spotify. But I wanted to make sure that I'm wrapping up a few notes in segment four here that I think if you're just diving into the show right now, or you sort of want to piggyback onto the way previous shows actually have a link to this particular show, which is, you know, how do you recognize people in your life that are all in on you, what you're doing, where you're going, and when they're not, what that looks like, how do you identify it, and how do you have the tough conversations and the really substantive conversations that it takes to sort of surround yourself, you know, with these willing warriors that it takes to sort of get through, not just get through life, but actually advance. You know, we tend to bail on each other so fast.
Yes.
So early without really even having conversations. And, you know, I will say that over the 27 years that I've been doing this, you know, I believe I'm a better manager now, a better leader now than I was previously.
Well, of course.
And you learn as you go. Right, which means you're inevitably going to have some collateral damage. But what you try to do in that instance is understand and learn from that lesson. And I've been fortunate enough to see, you know, former clients, former employees, where, you know, I maybe wasn't as good a designer or a business owner at that time. And you know what? I did go out of my way to mention it, that I was still grateful for the opportunity to have designed for them. I was grateful for the chance that they took on me, even though it was early in my career, right, when I knew less and I wasn't as good.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thankful for that. And that has never left me with new people that come onto my team. So it was interesting that you talk about, you know, like sometimes you hold on too fast to people, but also sometimes you have to do the analysis. And this is the next segment here is the team process. Okay. In other words, you've identified all of these people who are all in right. their own way.
Right.
But all of their reasons for being all in can be different.
Of course.
Okay. Well, how do you get them to all collaborate? How do you get all of these people who are all in their own way to actually now buy in to this common vision? Okay. Listen, it's true for family. You know, you've got all these individuals and you've got a daughter. I've got a daughter. I've got two daughters and a son. And they all are living independent lives now that they're older. But we all would like to believe, and I believe that Julie and I have stressed this to them, is that there are certain values in the alignment of what we do that through all of them matter to the same degree. I can say that that's pretty even in my family. I feel sure. like we've set an expectation as a family. When they know that they go out of alignment on it, we have a conversation about it. It doesn't mean that we micromanage it. It just means that they know that we're allowed to say it and that they actually... Again, because they're younger, they do get defensive. But the question really becomes in the team dynamic, if you've got all of these people in and you've identified them as all in, how do you get them to work together? Because what happens is as you do bigger things, so do new people who want to be a part of it. Because I think there are people out there that want to be all in, but they just don't, they're just not ready.
Right.
You know? Their skills aren't there. Their understanding isn't there. Their maturity level isn't there. And it doesn't mean that eventually they won't get there. It just means that depending on what you're doing, can you afford in the vision the learning curve?
Right.
That's right. In a family, you have no choice. Right. You birthed them. You got to do good. Okay.
Right.
You got to figure it out. Okay. But when you're assembling a team, it's really easy to take one comment, two comments, one dynamic, and take it out of context. And I think that that's one of the things that I'm learning about the more complex dynamics of even the contracting teams. One thing I've noticed is that when you can have the tradespeople all in on the vision at the same level as the GC, that matters. Because everybody to a certain extent in a big vision goes into protectionist mode.
Right.
Because nobody wants to be the one at fault for it failing.
Right.
So there's always a little bit of that in the big vision. Someone going, yeah, you know, I'm not going to be the one that blows it up. Not going to be me. So I'm going to try to protect me. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't really work. It doesn't really work because as you've built this all in team, you need all of them to pull it off. You need all of them to pull it off.
And you need all of them to support each other.
So therefore, the strategic aim in the all in is getting the other people who are all in to go through the exact same exercise that you went through to get them in the room. It's the same process. You want to foster open, honest communication. You want their skill sets to shape one another in the same way that that was a requirement for you. It needs to be a requirement for the team. And I don't care how you define that team. It can't be different standards. It can't be different values. Okay? Or at least you've got to really celebrate the shared ones. And you've also got to watch what I would call the self-serving nature that is really sometimes our impediment to great collaboration. It's like the athlete on the team that always wants the ball and complains that they never get it, when the reality is that in some circumstances they're double teamed,
right?
Which means it's impossible to get them the ball, yet they cry and they moan and they complain about not being the star. Well, that's not team.
Nope.
That's not team. That's why it's so great when you can distribute to multiple players with multiple skill sets to be more nimble, more flexible, more agile, more responsive. That's why it's great when I say the sense of anticipation, which is another big key to being all in. You know, there's a big difference between do the dishes or, hey, can I do the dishes for you because I know you cooked the meal? Do you understand that that's the difference in life?
Many, many times the backup is
the situational awareness to be, I'm capable, right, and I can step in there and I can alleviate and I can be part of a team.
Right.
You want to break it down? I can break it down to football for everybody if you want me to, because it's the greatest game. It's the greatest game. Golf and football are the two greatest games on the planet for lots of different reasons. Totally different show. But what I will tell you is it's the difference between I got you actively or, oh yeah, no, you made me aware, I got you. We walk around in a self-induced digital coma, myopic world. We're all, if it doesn't hit us in the face, we don't want to be bothered sometimes. But we've done it to ourselves. We've done it to ourselves with the pace of life. We've done it to ourselves with the pace of information. We've done it to ourselves with not wanting to wait and be petulant and not patient. And so much of those really negative tendencies that exist in everyone, right? And this is secular. This is not spiritual. You can take it to a spiritual angle, but you can take it to a secular level. When is ever being petulant a great idea? And when is ever being patient a bad idea? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's just why we have this conversation about hope. Hope sometimes is a little misleading because to me, hope has a layer of inaction I don't love.
Right.
I would rather take action than hope. I've said what I've needed to say, and I hope you get it.
Right.
I hope you take my counsel. And then you know what the contract is? You've got to take it too. So as we really look to talk about this volley, if you will, of, you know, you're on this spinning wheel of clay. You're trying to do this thing, family, business, career. You all have people who have their hands on it in some way. You have the mentor who's trying to teach and coach and kind of elevate you. You have the person who's trying to keep you grounded in your success. And you're also trying, you also, and hopefully it's the same person, but it could be a different person who looks at your failures and says, it's okay, get up. You're not defined by that one action.
Mm-hmm.
You're not defined by that one event. You're also not defined by that one success. You're only as good as your last at bat.
Right.
That's
not football.
So the key in this team dynamic that I'm referring to as it relates to sort of all in is the consistency of the cultivation of the, are you still all in with me? You can't make one assumption at the beginning and then think that as the journey gets more difficult, that their first yes means it's okay. They're not in your little military, okay? That's not what they are. You have to constantly be benchmarking. Hey, am I doing this in a way that still has you in my camp, or am I doing something in as a deterrent that's pushing you into the doorway. Yes, you in the front in the black.
We only have a couple minutes left, but can you also touch on the fact that it is okay to trust your gut? It is okay, no matter how many times you've met with, discussed things with, listened, had this, you know, open-minded conversation, that if your instinct is this person is in the doorway or one step out or even only a half a step in, if it's okay to trust your instinct.
Let's dig into that a little. We have a couple minutes here. Instinct is really difficult because sometimes it's always laced with your own neuroses, paranoia, and fears. Okay? That's a very important distinction when you get into this gut feeling. You only get a good gut, okay, when you have a lot of experience. It's very difficult at a younger age for me to have a good gut. I am now in my advanced age. Now I can, Nancy. But let me tell you what got me there, because I'm going to answer this. What this is the verification, the trust but verify. Meaning, I'm going to say this thing. I'm going to express this feedback. I'm going to tell you exactly what I need based on my latest understanding of it. Then they make a choice to say yes, I can do that, and then you watch to see if they're actually doing it, mm-hmm. because most people are just telling people what they want to hear.
Right.
That's where it gets confusing, especially with some of the clients that we deal with who have means. There's a lot of people that want to be around them. There's a lot of people that want to be in their circle.
Sure.
And what I have found has been extremely valuable is being the one in the circle that will tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear.
Right.
I have really learned to value that. And so when other people are saying, let's just take an example of, you know, this person approaches this way, and it's some sort of complaint within a team dynamic, or it's a complaint within a family dynamic, you know, because kids do this too. They play one kid against the other. Mm-hmm. You know, they're always looking for angles, especially when they're teenagers. Like this is just inherent in human nature. The difference is between, fine, I'm going, just so you know, if you've brought this to me, I'm going to take action.
Right.
And I'm gonna figure it out. And so what people count on is the inaction. They count on and have now learned to be comfortable in the indifference. It is going to be very hard for you if you're listening today. If people are just sort of indifferent to things and they don't prove it through their action, maybe you need to find some people, more people to get in your camp, in the room with you. But conversely, you need to make sure that you do the same for them. It's not a one-way street.
Right.
So gut matters, provided you haven't layered your gut with enough neuroses, okay, to lie to you. Because the brain does do that, right? That's why actions matter. I mean, you're looking for the sync up of actions and words, I think, in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So much more to this topic. But thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning. Listen, if you want to know more about what we do, go to any one of our social media platforms on Instagram and Facebook, right? Even on LinkedIn, if you're on that. And also check us out on Spotify. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great Sunday, everybody. You've been coached.